Let's get started. I want to welcome everybody to a new venture of the shul, which I am very excited about, and I'm hoping will be something that's very, very meaningful. Since we only have a very short time, I don't want to spend too much of it on any kind of introduction, other than to say that the initial seeds for this were planted with David Eichwitz pre-corona, which is another universe. And I appreciate Mark Merrill totally independently pushing me towards this again after Yontif. And between the two of it, we just decided, let's go for it, and let's see, hopefully, there'll be some interest and some benefit to the members of the community and to the members of the shul. The idea, as the flyer and the title of the series indicates, is to focus on our inner life, on our avodas Hashem, on our relationship with Hashem, and building that inner relationship with Hashem. And as I always like to do, I think it's important to ground any discussion, even a discussion like this, in a text, in Torah, in substance. The idea is to be thought-provoking. The hope, specifically doing it on a Friday morning, is that it gives you something to think about and to bring into Shabbos, if you think appropriate, even to discuss around the Shabbos table and with your family. But at minimum, as we go into Shabbos, when we have more time anyway, to be a little bit contemplative and a little bit more spiritual instinctively, and because we have less pressures, hopefully this will give us some food for thought. And the suggestion was made by a few of the people who had the initiative to study the remarkable Sefer of Alei Shor by Rav Shlomo Volbi. I don't want to use the time now to give you a biography about him or a history of the Sefer. That probably you can find online, even though the text is not available on any database online. But it's worth learning about. And perhaps if, you know, Mirza Shem, if we keep this going for a while, through the Shurim, I'm sure parts of his biography and the Sefer and the history and its influence will come out. But suffice it to say, this is a very, very well-known, very highly regarded, and at a younger and previous stage of my life, it actually had a tremendous influence on me. When I say younger, I mean like almost 30 years ago. I haven't used the Sefer regularly in many, many years, but I appreciate the opportunity to revisit something that really is a very, very powerful Sefer, and I think, as we will find, is frankly very, very relevant. I thought, since this is the beginning and the opening of a series, and we are starting the beginning of a particular Sefer, it made sense to start for today's Chabura to see what the goal of the Sefer is in his words, not in mine, and therefore to see a little bit of his introduction, what he calls the Mavo Klali. Now, in the 20 minutes that we have, I'm going to try to give you maybe two, or maybe if we have time, I hope three small passages, which come from what is, in my version, a six-page introduction. So obviously, we're leaving a lot on the field. I'm not going to be able to give everything over that he says. Those who have the Sefer are those who are inspired to buy it, if they're enjoying it. So certainly there's more to learn. But I'd rather focus on less is more. I'd rather see just a few pieces inside, and hopefully that gives us a chance to really not rush through it, but really contemplate it, to think about it, to study it, and even perhaps if we have time to have a bit of a discussion. So in the PDF that was sent around, there should be three pages. And for those, I have one of the older versions I see in Mark's, for example, others, and some new printings. So I don't know when to give out pages, but if you have the Mavo Klali, I think it's all organized the same. We're going to start with the opening page, which for those of you who have the PDF, it's the first page in the PDF, and this is the opening of the Mavo Klali. And not surprising for those who are familiar, given what I just described as the goal of the book and the goal of this Chabura, not at all surprising that Rav Volbi starts, this is the second paragraph, he starts with one of the famous quotes at the introduction of the Chovas HaLevavos. Chovas HaLevavos, which of course is a medieval Musar / philosophy book, was maybe the first and most famous to make this distinction and explicitly give this focus of not just all the physical and external do's and don'ts of Jewish life, which we're most familiar with, but specifically to focus on the inner life of a Jew. And that is what the name of the Sefer, Chovas HaLevavos, is most famous for, distinguishing between Chovas HaEvarim, the obligations we do with the limbs of our body, the external physical, tangible, concrete acts, the shaking of the lulav, the putting on the tefillin, etc., and then the inner life, the obligations of the heart, Chovas HaLevavos. See here, Rav Volbi begins with a particular quote, which I think is very, very important, and it's good to start off our series as well. So we're reading here in the second paragraph on that first page that you would have. Adam mechubar min nefesh v'guf. Human being is comprised of body and soul. Shnehem mitovos habori aleinu, and they're both great kindnesses of God. Ha'echad nira v'hasheina sheini einu nira. This is an important theme which Rav Volbi is going to very much pick up on. That it's not just one is physical and one is spiritual. One is visible and one is invisible. One is obvious, you can see it, you can comprehend it. The soul, of course, is not. אנחנו חייבים לעבוד אוסו בעבור זה עבודה גלויה ועבודה צפונה. Says Rabbein Abachaye, the author of Kol Tzlavavos, because there's two parts of every human being, that means that our avodah Hashem has to be comprised of two parallel parts. It's obvious, I think, once you say it out loud, but until he said it, I don't know how many people thought of it. Until you heard it, I don't know how many people thought of it. If there's two parts to the human being, it means that there needs to be two parallel forms of avodas Hashem that respectively relate to the body and to the heart or to the soul. An external avodah and a hidden avodah tzfunah. Hagluya, the outer, revealed, that's chovos ha'ivarim, as we saw before. That's the things you do, the physical actions. He gives examples, whether it's fasting or davening. Acha avodah ha'tzfunah, hiya chovos ha'lavavos. But that hidden avodah is what's called chovos ha'lavavos, the duties of the heart. Who shniyached ha'elokim bevotenu shinamin bo ubetarato. What is an example? He's just giving examples, of course, now, of the inner chovos ha'lavavos, the duties of the heart. What are examples of that? So, belief in Hashem, a connection and understanding of the unity of Hashem, and the... Oh, let me continue, let me finish the sentence. Which is, nekabel avodaso, v'nire oso, v'nichna mipanav, fear, submission. All of those things, what's the common thread? Not only that they're inner thoughts, but they all relate specifically to God. Right? Everything he decided to read, I think, four things quickly. The chovos halavavos, the things which are tzafun, they're hidden. Again, we of course believe that through the tefillin and through the lulav, right, those are ways that mediate our relationship with Hashem. But the chovos ha'lavavos don't require any mediation. They're more direct. It's direct about Hashem. Avas Hashem, Yira Shamayim, Kabbalah's O Malcho Shamayim. The word Shamayim or God or something is in the words, right? If it's tefillin or it's davening even, let alone shaking the lulav or the blowing the shofar, so... Whether you want a Kabbalistic, a Musar, a Hasidish, a rationalist, you can find ways. I'm not being cynical about it. I mean, genuinely, there are different approaches to understand how that concrete physical act helps mediate and bridge a relationship with Hashem. But you need that extra step. The hidden world, the inner world, maybe that's a better way of putting it, the inner world is much more direct between you and Hashem. Okay, so that's, first of all, the premise. It's the way of looking at the world. Now, before we see the next selection that I want to read with you inside, again, since I had to skip a lot, since, again, I'm trying to summarize six pages now, the next steps that Revolbi does to set up what I want to see next, which is his attempt at resolving the challenge, is he points out the following, that given this phenomenon, of course, the next obvious question is, what's the goal of life? What should our focus be? Is our focus on the externals or the internals, and how do they relate to one another? And he begins by, again, and I'm obviously very simplistically summarizing what he does, but he begins by positing what seems to be initially at least, a contradiction or at least a tension. He brings, and this is actually on the bottom of the first page for those who have it, although we won't read it inside, he brings from the Ramchal, the famous author of the Mesillas Yesharim, but this is in his introduction to one of his more esoteric works called Da'as Tfunos, that the goal of life is to purify and to elevate the body. The Ramchal asks, why did we need a body and a soul? Why do we have to have these two things? Why does human beings have to be made up of this complex dance between body and soul? Just make us how you want us, God. And the Ramchal's answer to that question is that the whole purpose of life is to use the soul and mitzvos, specifically mitzvos, to purify the body. So from that perspective, it sounds like, what's the main avoda, what's the ultimate goal, says Revolbi, you see from Ramchal? The body. Not in the course, elevating the body, transforming the body, bringing it as close to as possible an angelic state. On the other hand, he points out, and this I don't know if I gave you even in the PDF, but for those who have it, it's on the next page. He points out that there's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Beis, which comments on the various psukim of Barchi Nafshi this, Barchi Nafshi that. Gemara gives explanations for what the different ones are, elaborates. And then the Gemara asks, well, what's the point of all of them? Why do we have all this? And the Gemara gives a very, very powerful phrase that basically points out that each time it's Barchi, not goofy, but Barchi Nafshi. Yavo, let the soul, which is a spark of the divine, come and praise the divine. That is to say, says Rav Olbe, you see from that Gemara, that the only part of us that can really serve Hashem is our soul. Because our soul has enough commonality, shares enough with Hashem, it's really only the soul. I'll just read one line again. I don't know if you have this. Those of you who have the book, in my version, it's the second paragraph on page 12, Amud Yud Bet. But just one line here, he says, "Nimtzinu lemeidim b'zeh, ki dafka ha'neshama yicholo l'shabeach l'kadosh baruch hu." Only the soul can really praise Hashem. That's why it's Baruch Hinafshi. Again, we're going to say Baruch Hinafshi, Baruch Hinafshi. Ki yesh lo ha-tzah ha-shava kev yachol. Ha-yirak mitzah ha-neshama yachol adam la-avod l-boro. Dak v'chobos ha-levobos ha-min yachasim el-neshama heim ikar ha-avoda. So now he points out something which in and of itself also seems obvious, which is that if we're talking about God, a spiritual being, however we understand it, so the part of us that is spiritual, that shares common characteristics with Hashem, is really the best and maybe even the only way one could truly relate to Hashem, right? If you have, you know, if you have a little bit in common with someone, you know, you meet them for a business meeting or in a social event, or if you remember back when you were dating, right? So even the ones that didn't end up in, you know, you finding your basher, and marrying that person, but you know, if you had a little bit in common with them, you know, it could be at least a decent date. Maybe when you get two or three out of it. And then there's others. I assume everyone had at least one of these where it was like, I don't know what anyone was thinking, but there's nothing in common here, right? There's just nothing to talk about, right? I mean, literally and figuratively. So it just makes sense that if you're going to be able to have a real deep relationship with anyone, right, there has to be some significant point of contact. And says Rav Olbe, you see from this Gemara pretty clearly that the neshama is the key to having a relationship with Hashem. Right? Because the guf, the body, is way too removed, is way too different. It's the soul that really can, yavo ha-neshama, that has the common denominator, there's the point of contact with Hashem. So in light of that, now I think this should be the second page you have in your PDF. You see an Os Beis on the top there? For those who are looking at a PDF, and for those who have the book, it's the next page, the next section, the beginning of the second section of his introduction. So here Rav Olbe posits the question. Okay, everyone have that? Anyone not know where I am? Who wants to know where I am? Okay, don't answer that all at once. So he says here, given all of this, me'ata suma aleinu leva'er bezrat Hashem et hayachas ben haneshama v'guf ba'avoda. So given that, we seem to have a tension. Which one is it? What should we be focusing on? Our neshama or our guf? Now when he says neshama or guf, he doesn't mean guf meaning physical pleasure. Even in the word, forget that for a second. What the role of physical pleasure is not our discussion at all at the moment. But even in the realm of serving Hashem, what's the focus? Our inner life, our feelings of emunah, our feelings, our thoughts of Yirat Shamayim, of Dveikus, of feeling close to Hashem, of being inspired, you know, those Ni'ila moments, which maybe we can capture once or twice the rest of the year, those kind of things. Or the, no, putting on the tefillin and make sure we buy the right food for Shemitah and all that stuff. Where's the focus? There seems to be a tension. Which one is it? Yeah.
That's a very basic question. I don't really see, obviously the tension, but I don't see where we're starting from. It seems like a chicken. If you don't have the focus,
Good. So I think you're going to like his answer. Okay. Good. So he says here, Hainu, but just to phrase the question, Ben chovas ha'evarim or ben chovas ha'lavavos. On the one hand, mitzad echad, kol tachlis tuliyah b'chovas ha'evarim. Shreihem ha'makachim ha'saguf, right? It's the physical actions, the mitzvos, is what the Ramchal said. The purpose of life is, through mitzvos, to sanctify the body. Right, and that's the way we elevate ourselves, that's the way we remove the impurities and the more coarse parts of our personality, etc., etc. On the other hand, he points out, two lines below, mi'idach, dafka ha'neshama Mesugelis l'shabech is a kadosh baruch hu lavod lefanav, and therefore he asks. Now, maybe for Michael, this is just a kind of a setup, or maybe you think it's a really good question. Either way, what's his question? Ketad yesh lehatim shnei eila ubama yesh lehatchil. Right, you have to start somewhere. Is it the chicken or is it the egg? Do you start with the chovas ha'evarim and hopefully that leads to the neshama, or do you work on your neshama and hopefully that will lead to the chovas ha'evarim? Where do we go from here? Right, at the very least, there are two parallel tracks. Right, we're not good at multitasking. We're men. Right? What are we supposed to do? And certainly we have to figure out where to start. So his answer is so powerful. And this is really the key to everything we're going to do. This is just a teaser today. Ein devarenu amurim b'misha chotef b'mitzvos. You're right. This is a problem, and nothing we're going to do is going to solve that problem for someone who just grabs mitzvos. Right? There are people who go through life just grabbing. I don't mean like against the law or like a violation of other people's space. I just mean like there's no plan, right? When the spirit moves, right? If you plot me, right? It's like the difference between the first time you went to a Cafe Rimon Friday morning while you can eat breakfast, or hopefully the second time. Or when I was younger, if you got lucky enough to be invited to someone, you know, to the King David for a Shabbos morning lunch. You know, those meals, right? Those unbelievable buffets, right? The first time, they're just you're just grabbing the first thing you see. Right, but if you're like me, or you want to be like me, right? The second time you go, now you know you have to have a strategy, right? Where's the when to go to the omelet line? When to go to the right? There's a strategy for how to work one of those rooms. Says Rav Volbi, there's two ways to go through life in mitzvos too. There are people who are just chotef mitzvos, right? If you just randomly are grabbing, I don't mean that you might be grabbing a million mitzvos. You might be doing a ton, but there's no thought. It's not a thoughtful life. It's not a strategic life. It's just an impulsive, maybe the impulse is good. It's mitzvos. I'm not talking about running after physical pleasures. I'm talking about spiritual things. But it's not thoughtful. It's not by design. It says, if you're just grabbing mitzvos, yeah, then you're going to have a problem. Chumra po, hanhaga sham. You can grab this chumra over here. You can grab this practice over there. Right? But you don't have a shita. You don't have a strategy. You're not thoughtful. You're just grabbing things. Then we have a problem. But what's the real answer? And maybe, Michael, this is what you're intuiting. I'm not sure. But if you realize that that's not how you go through life, that you need a plan because we're trying to build ourselves. And as he points out, if you're building anything, and almost everyone in this room has recently, thankfully finished, hopefully, building something in Eretz Yisrael, you know, building is complicated. And in order for building to be a binyan shel kayama, it has to be mesudar. Right? You have to start, as he points out, with a foundation. You need to build. If we're building ourselves, you need a yesod. You need a shoresh. It can't be mitzvos evarim meduldolim ba'adam. Right? If the mitzvos are just kind of hanging around, just loosely, they're just... Then there's no plan, there's no strategy, there's no interaction. Then who knows? Then you're lost. Maybe you have a good day, maybe you don't. But if you realize that there actually has to be a plan to build ourselves, so then, he says, you realize that in fact, what's the ultimate goal? Look at the next paragraph. Quoting from the Gemara and Brachos that I had mentioned, the goal is, he says here on the second line, L'mashesh ruchaniyut ulivnot et pnimiyutenu hi avoda b'chozolos. Says the ultimate goal where you have to really begin, says, is in the heart. But it's not a contradiction, he says. Here, let's skip just three or four lines down. It's the last section of this paragraph. Ha'omeid al nekuda pnimit zu v'nichnas la'avoda ha'tzafuna. If a person realizes, again, the whole premise of chovos ha'levavos, or even the sefer, is that most people sleepwalk through life. I mean, most people, I mean people with the yarmulke and tzitzis. Most people sleepwalk through life. They don't even realize there's this inner world. But once you realize it, and you enter into this world of the inner life of the Jew, of the neshama, and you work on that, it's from that, yuchal lahamshich ruchnis zu gam letoch avodaso hagluya, letoch kiyum chovas ha'evarim, ubezeh yagia letachlito, lahafoch gam choshchas haguf, ruchaniyut v'harat panim. In other words, we may not be there yet, but at least if we want to know what the goal is to merge the two entirely. Not that there aren't things that are actual chovos halavavos. There are. Thinking about Hashem, loving Hashem, right? Again, easiest analogy, I mean, not the easiest, but certainly a popular analogy in Torah, of course, is thinking about your role as a parent. Right? There are feelings that you have for your children, and there are things you do for your children. Right? So yes, in that sense, they're not the same. On the other hand, he says, if a person really lights on fire and really develops that inner relationship with Hashem, then every one of the chovos hayevarim, the externals that they do, will be expressions of the neshama as well. If you haven't been aware of, let alone tapped into, let alone truly developed your neshama, your chovos ha-levavos, so then maybe you have a great davening and it inspires you. Or maybe it's like most davenings for most people. Maybe putting on that tefillin reminds you of the thrill of when you were a bar mitzvah boy. Maybe the shir really gets you to think more about something meaningful. Or more likely, none of those things happen. On the other hand, he says, if you're aware of, sensitive to, and working on your inner life, your emotional, spiritual life in relationship with Hashem, so then you're more likely and hopefully will be successful at not only that in and of itself being valuable, but that will seep into and infuse every one of the things that we do. The more you're in touch with that, the more likely it is that the davening itself is spiritual. If you've never thought about that, if you're not in touch with that part of your life at all, you can't, it's not reasonable or certainly not fair to say, you know, I go to shul, but I'm not inspired. Well, how could you be? That doesn't just happen when you show up at shul. That happens with a lot of work beforehand, so that you're the kind of person who enters shul who could be inspired. There has to be something that's flammable on the inside already, so that if you light the match, there is something there to catch fire. But if you haven't worked on that, if there's nothing that's, I mean, it is there, but if it's tamun, safun, it's just hidden, buried away, you're not even aware of it, it'll be very, I'm not saying it can happen, but it's very unlikely, and certainly it'd be random and unexpected if it gets turned on fire. I want to end here just because we started a little bit late and we're already ending a little late, and that's a bad minute. I just point out for those who have the Sefer or for those who want to look at the PDF afterwards, the last thing I gave you is literally the last paragraph of the whole introduction where he ties this into the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he points out that he thinks that this is fundamentally the difference between the two respective Churbanos, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second. That fundamentally in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, even though externally in their chovos ha'ivarim they were terrible, but he posits that their inner life was actually very good. And as a result, even though it was bad enough that the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed, it also got rebuilt 70 years later. On the other hand, he says the second Beis HaMikdash, they actually had plenty of mitzvot. They were doing all the chovos ha'ivarim. But when the Gemara says Sinas Chinam destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't just see that as Sinas Chinam, he sees that as a way of describing the fact that their whole inner life was corrupted. He says, if you have Sina in your heart, you can't have anything good in your heart. And if your inner life is corrupted, not only is that itself going to lead to a Churban, it's a Churban that's far more severe than the Churban that occurred the first time. So I thank everyone for joining. I hope you enjoyed. I hope this gives you something to think about. And Yemir Tashem, next Friday we will begin with the first chapter, which is all about how learning generally and learning Gemara is also supposed to be something that is spiritual and connecting ourselves. And again, just as a teaser, you know, there are many people, students, but I know many adults as well, who maybe years removed from yeshiva, and they look back on it, and they might have generally fond memories, but they don't necessarily think of Gemara and spirituality in the same breath, let alone in the same chapter or the same book. And that's a shame. And what can we do about that? What should be our perspective on learning but finding the spiritual nourishment from that? That's going to be the opening chapter with Emir Tashem we will pick up with next week. Thank you, everybody.